be able to preach the Word of God. And especially today, it's a special day for me because I get to preach to the whole church, all three congregations represented here together this morning. And, you know, regardless of what language we speak, God gives to us His Word. And the Word of God transcends language, time, and even to us today, God wants to speak something into our lives, personally and together as a church. And so my hope and prayer is that today, as we read through Scripture together, as we study the Word of God together, we'll grow not only in love for God, but learn what it means to have unity in the church. Not just the English congregation, not just the Mandarin-speaking congregation, not just the Cantonese-speaking congregation, but the three congregations actually making up one body of Christ here at CCC. And I hope that that will come out and come alive in the Word of God that we have together today. We're going to look together in the book of John, the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. This is the Word of God. "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Verse 23, "I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Verse 25, "O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for every heart that is gathered together in this sanctuary. God, you know each person here. You know each of their thoughts. You know the things that they are going through in their lives, and you love them and you care for them. We thank you that you are so good. We thank you that you are God who is loving. And we thank you that you give to us a love that is not meant to keep to ourselves, but to share with those around us. So help us today to study your word. Help me to preach your word powerfully. Help everyone here, myself included, have an open heart to learn and understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when you study the Bible, context, I always say, is very important. Sometimes people take one verse and say, oh, okay, this verse means this. So, you know, there's a lot of verses like, in Christ, I can do all things. And some people just look at that one verse and they say, okay, well, I can do all things. Maybe I'll jump on top of a building and say, in Christ, I can fly. And they might jump off the building because they look at that one verse and say, well, this is what it means. But context means you have to know who is speaking and who is being spoken to. And it's also important to know kind of the history of what's happening in the time of the Bible passage that you're reading. When we know who's speaking, the time, the place, the purpose, we can actually go deeper in our understanding of the Bible, and then we can learn how to apply it into our own lives. Today, in the passage that we read through, this is actually part of a prayer that Jesus Christ himself is praying. It's called, oftentimes called, the high priestly prayer. Now, Jesus Christ, this is his final prayer, if you will, for the church or for the believers before he goes to the cross to die for us. So God, who loved us so much, sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. But on the way to the cross, Jesus still has us in mind. And so he stops to pray on behalf of his people. And when we look at the prayer of Jesus Christ, one thing that we learn is this. He wants for us as believers to be united. He wants for all of us, no matter what language we speak, to be united, not because we have everything in common, not because we speak the same language or because we live in the same neighborhood or even because we just happen to go to the same church, but because of our faith in Jesus Christ. So there's three things that I'm going to speak to. How can we here at Chinese Community Church of DC, how can we be united together as a church? There's three things. First, we have to have a love for God. We have to have a love for God. If you have your bulletins, you can open them up, and the points are right there in a small section in the bulletin. Point number two is we have to have a love for one another. So not just love for God, but love for one another. And the final thing that I'll speak to is that we not only need love for God and for one another here, but we also need to have a love for those who are lost, for those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior yet. So let's look at that first point, love for God. In verse 20 to 21, this is what it says. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. Now, who is Jesus Christ talking about here? When he says these words, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, Jesus Christ is saying, I'm not only praying for the disciples and followers that are with me now, he's actually praying for you and me. He's praying for those all the way in the future, because he knows us. He's praying for those who will become Christians through the gospel of Jesus Christ that is being preached through the disciples and the apostles of Jesus Christ. So you see, isn't that incredible to think about? Thousands of years ago, when Jesus Christ was actually on the earth, physically living, before he goes to the cross to die for our sins, he's actually thinking of us in love. And so he prays, not just for the disciples. He's saying, God, not just those who are here with me now, but even those that are way in the future. Those at Chinese Community Church that will believe in me through the word of God thousands of years later. Jesus cares for us. He knows us. And he even prays for us way back in that time in history. That's the ultimate act of love. That as he goes to the cross, he cares for us. That as he goes to the cross, he's actually thinking of you and me. Isn't that an amazing thing? Amen? What an awesome thing that Jesus, God, the creator of the whole world, cares for you and me. So what does that do? When you hear about this love, that God, he loved us when we didn't deserve it. We were not good people. And then God said, okay, they deserve my love. We were sinners. We were in need of forgiveness. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that's what it talks about, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, a lot of us think, I'm a pretty good person. That's why God is good to me, because I do good things. I stay away from bad things. I do more good things than bad. But that's not how God works. All of us deserved death. All of us deserved punishment. But because of God's grace and love, he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. So when you receive that kind of love, how do you respond? I believe that the only way to respond is to say, God, thank you for your love. And you let that love for God, the more you get to know God, the more you grow in love with him. You know, there's a difference between knowing a lot about God and actually knowing him. You know, before I came to CCC, Maybe you heard about me, some things about me, but now that I'm here, I want to get to know you. I want you to get to know who I am. I want to have a relationship with you, a friendship, a loving brotherhood and sisterhood together. In the same way, some people, they think, well, if I go to church and I learn a lot about God, that's enough. But love for God, look what it says in verse 20 and 21. He says that I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Okay, so unity, all of us, okay, we know about God, about unity. But look, it says, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. You see, that kind of unity means a deep relationship. It means you actually care for one another. It means you actually know the love of God. Because you know God, now I have a love for God that overflows, that is, it's for who he is. Not because of what he gives me or because things are going well in life, but simply because of who he is and what he has done for us. So we have to get to know God more. To grow in your love for God, you have to know God more. And how can we learn to know more about God? We have to read the Bible. We have to read the Word of God. Not just save it for Sunday. Okay, well, Sunday, I'm going to go and listen to the pastor. Okay, that's my Bible reading for the week. No. We have to learn to love God, know him more and more. Each day, take time to spend getting to know God. Don't just know about God, get to know him. Have a relationship with him so that you can receive that love, and then now you can have even greater understanding and love for God. Take time to pray. As a church, let's learn to pray to God. Whether you're going through good times or difficult times, learn to go to the Lord and spend time with him. Talk with him. God cares if you're having a bad day. Sometimes we think, oh, I can only go to God when I really did something bad. Lord, please help me. Or when something's going great, Lord, thank you. There's great success. But even if you just have a bad day, oh, God, you know, I wasn't having a good day today, and I yelled at my wife. Oh, God, I was having a bad day, and so I yelled at my son or my daughter. I wasn't very kind on the road. I was driving recklessly, cutting people off. Whatever it might be, say, God, you know, just talk with him. He cares about how you're feeling. He cares about even the things that you think are small. God, he cares about you. He was already thinking about you thousands of years ago. Isn't that amazing? So learn to love God more. And the only way you can do that is to know him more. So go to him in times of devotion. Read the Bible. Take time to pray. Second thing is this: love for one another. So God gives to us his love, but it's never meant for us to just keep to ourselves. God gives us his love so that we can give of it freely, share it with those around us. And again, sometimes people think, well, I believe in Jesus, so I'm okay. So I can just go to church on Sunday and leave, not talk to anyone, and I'll be fine. I don't have to get to know. Oh, I don't want to spend time talking to people. Oh, that takes too much work. I'm just going to go and listen. I love Jesus. He loves me, and I'm going to leave. But God says, no, that's not how my love works. We need to not only have a love for God, but a love for one another. Look what it says in verse 25 to 26. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I'll continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. You see, the love of God is outward. Yes, it's received inwardly, but it's meant to give outwardly. And Jesus, even himself, again, the greatest commandment that he gives in Matthew chapter 22, in Matthew chapter 22, he says that the greatest commandment is to love God, right? So that was our first point, to love God. And then the second is like, is to love others as you love yourself. So with the same love that you have for God, now you take that love and it's meant to be shared with those around us. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it says that true love is where someone can lay down his life for his brother. Someone who is willing to die for another person, that exemplifies the amazing love of our God. Let me ask you a question. Do we have love for one another in that kind of way? Look around to the left and the right. Are you willing to die for this person that they might know the Lord or grow in Him more? It's easy to say these kinds of things. Oh yeah, I'll die for Jesus. Oh, I'll do these amazing things for God. But sometimes we have to take a moment and really check our hearts. Is the love of God in me? And God, if that love is in me, please help me to share that love with those around me. Jesus showed us His love when we did not deserve it. So that means even here, there may be some people we think, oh, they don't deserve my love. But we learn to do it because of the love that God has shown to us. Amen? We don't only love when it's easy. God's love came at an extreme sacrifice. It was costly to Him. And so we have to learn to give in such a way for our own lives that we love even when it's costly to us. Okay? You know, there's a story that I'm reminded of. And it was a father, you know, sharing about a story with him and his two children. And so this father, he took an 8-year-old daughter named Helen and a little brother named Brandon, who was 5 years old, and they went to this mall, okay? And in this mall, as they were driving on their way in, there was this big sign that said, petting zoo, okay? And Helen and Brandon, they loved animals, so they were excited. They saw the sign, and they said, Dad, can we go to the petting zoo? And the father, of course, who was very loving to his children, said, Of course, when we get there, I'll give you, you know, 50 cents to go to the petting zoo, and you can have a good time while I go to the mall and shop. So he went, they parked the car, and he gave his kids a quarter each to go to the zoo, and then he went on his way to go shopping. But as he was walking into the mall, he felt something following behind him. And when he looked back, he saw his little daughter, Helen. And so he turned back to Helen and said, Helen, why are you here? Why didn't you go to the petting zoo? And Helen looked kind of sad, and she looked up at her dad, and she said, well, Daddy, the petting zoo actually costs 50 cents a person. So I gave my quarter to Brandon so that he can go to the zoo and have fun with the animals. Now, I know that might not sound like a big deal, but I think that we can learn a lot from Helen. To a kid who loves animals, going to the petting zoo is like heaven. It's like, whoa, there's animals everywhere. You can give them food. You can, you know, pet them. You can even ride them, maybe. I don't know. But she saw Brandon, and she said, if I give him my quarter, at least he can go and enjoy the petting zoo. You see, it cost Helen something, right? It cost her something. Even if it was just a quarter, to her it meant a lot, but she gave her quarter to Brandon so that he could go and enjoy the petting zoo. You see, love, God's love that we share with other people, it should be a costly love. Not just, well, I have a lot of time today, so okay, maybe I can hang out with you. I'm just too busy. I can't do anything today. You see, it can't be out of just a comfort. You see, if we allow circumstances to say when we show love, then there's going to be a lot of times where we just choose not to love. But when we have a heart of love that God gives to us, we make it a point, even if it costs us our time, even if it costs us our energy, even if it costs us our finances, we will do it because we have the love of God in us. Amen? Not only that, here in our church, do we have this kind of love for one another? I don't mean, again, just in the Mandarin-speaking congregation. I don't mean just in the Cantonese-speaking congregation. I don't mean just in the English-speaking congregation. I mean, together as a church, do we have the kind of love for one another? If we don't have a kind of costly giving, even with one another, our time, even introducing ourselves to others from different congregations. There's not going to be unity that grows in this place. Even if we're a little bit uncomfortable, we should show love. Because God has shown us love in an amazing way. One great way that I want to impress upon us, one great way that we can show love for one another is to pray. It's to pray for one another. Let me ask you a question. Who here, and you don't have to raise your hands, but who here prays every day for CCC? You don't have to raise your hands, but just think. Do you pray every day for CCC? Do you pray for the pastors? Do you pray for those who are serving in different leadership in the ministries? Do you pray for the congregation? Do you pray every day for CCC? Now let me ask you another question. Do you pray? Maybe you say, yeah, I pray every day for CCC. But do you pray for the other congregations now in CCC? So if you're in the English ministry, do you pray for the Cantonese-speaking and Mandarin-speaking ministries? If you're in the Mandarin-speaking congregation, do you pray for the English congregation and the Cantonese-speaking congregation? If you're in the Cantonese-speaking congregation, do you pray for the English-speaking ministry and the Mandarin-speaking congregation? Do you do that? I want to challenge us here. We serve the same God who gave his one and only Son for us so that we could have this amazing love in our hearts. And he wants us here in our church to grow in that love, to be united in that love. I'm here, I promise you, I pray every day for each congregation, for each of you. I believe that's the same of the leaders that we have here at our church. Will you make a commitment to do the same? Even just 5 to 10 minutes each day. God, I want to show my love for the others in my church, for one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to pray for the congregation that I'm a part of, for the other congregations and the church that I'm a part of here at CCC. Take time. Think about it. It doesn't matter how young or old you are. That's the love of God, his heart for us. And as we pray for one another with that kind of love, man, we're going to become united. I promise you. Last thing is this. Love for the lost. So we've talked about love for God. That's this kind of vertical relationship. We've talked about our love for one another here within the church. Now, as a church, what do we do with that love of God together? We take that and we go out to those who do not yet know the Lord. We don't just keep it here. We don't just say, oh, we're at CCC, we're good here. No, it becomes and is a part of our lives as we go out into our schools. It's a part of our lives as we go back into our households and our families, our friendships, every way. And for the young ones who are, you know, are online gaming and chatting away, even there, you're still a Christian. You have to show the love of God, even when you're chatting away, right? Don't become a keyboard warrior and just go crazy with all the, you know, slamming people and flaming them, okay? You're a Christian in every sphere because the love of God is in you. That's what Jesus prayed for before he went to the cross. God, I want my people to be united in this love. And that also takes place to the lost. Look at what it says in verse 22, from the last half of 21 to 22 and then to 24. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is the purpose that he's praying. Verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So you hear this unity still that Jesus is praying for. In verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. So that, why? So that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Look at what it's saying. It's saying, the purpose of God's love for us and our love for one another ultimately is to continue to share and reach more people with that same love so that the whole world will know who Jesus Christ is. So that's our duty, our calling, is to make the love of Christ known to those around us, to have that kind of love, to have people that don't know the Lord have salvation, hope, peace that's everlasting, that can only come through Jesus Christ. So that they may believe that you sent me. You know, how sad would it be if we as a church, when people come through these doors or they see us outside or they see us in other places, they're like, oh, who are these people? They're fighting. They're arguing. Maybe they hear what you're talking about. They're complaining. And they say, oh, but they're Christian? Oh, what is this? How much more would it be beneficial to the kingdom of God if we are loving not only one another and loving God, but as we think about those who do not know the Lord, as we think about those around us who've maybe never heard the gospel, then we live in a way that is different, that is reminded of the love of Jesus Christ for us. Just think about it this way. I remember when I went to Japan on a mission trip all the way back in 2005. Okay, so it was a long time ago. I remember there was a percentage. I think they said about 1% of people in Japan at the time were Christians. How many of you here have been to Japan before? Anyone been here to Japan? Okay, there's several of us. Now, when you went there, I wonder if you thought about things like this. And I'm not saying you're bad if you didn't think this way. I was on a mission trip, so I was more focused. But when you think that only 1% of people are Christian in Japan, that means if I walk on the street, 99 out of 100 people are not Christian. Why only 99? Well, because I'm the one Christian, right? That I'm counting myself, right? Well, hopefully, right? Yeah. So just think about that. Literally every person that you walk past is basically a non-Christian. Every person that I walk past, they're lost. They don't know that as they walk to their jobs and go back to their families and they're busy with life, trying to do good things and stay away from bad things, or maybe doing bad things and not caring about it, that they are spiritually lost. That means they don't know the love of Jesus Christ. That means they don't have the truth of the gospel. Yeah, have you thought about that before? Even as we walk around in D.C., you know, maybe even in the apartment complex that we live in, wherever we might be, there are so many people who need to know the love of God. And you have the love of God in you. You have the love of God that Jesus prayed for you to have if you are a believer of Christ. Love the lost. Pray for them. Reach out to them. Care for them. Share the love of God with them. Amen? Guys, as a church, let's grow like that. Let's grow together. Let's take time as we pray for ourselves, as we pray for our church, and then praying for those that God has put into our lives so that the world may know through the love that they see in us, that Jesus Christ is real. I'll just share one more story. My friend, I have a friend that I met in college on my campus. I went to the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. I studied biology there. I had a friend he became my friend later on in my college years, but his testimony is just, it almost sounds like it's a made-up story because it's so... It's kind of funny, okay? So basically, my friend, he's a very serious guy. Okay, he was a computer science guy, so he wasn't really like out and, you know, I'm not saying that computer science guys don't talk with other people, but he at least my friend, he was very much into his computer and working hard and diligently. And one day, he was at the student union, which is a big building that our college had. And a lot of students are there. There's food. There's a lot of different things that happen there. But he was sitting there one evening. And he says that as he was working away on his computer, he had his headphones on. But there was this group, this kind of group of Asian people, like going from place to place in the student union. Okay, and you know, he usually keeps to himself, but they kept catching his eye because they were having so much fun. They were laughing and they were taking pictures in all these different parts of the student union. And he was just thinking, what's going on? What's happening here? And so even though he's usually very keeping to himself, there was something about what he saw and how this group was interacting that made him very curious. So he actually, my friend who keeps to himself, he actually worked up the energy to say, hey, guys, like, what are you guys doing? And this group was actually part of a church. And they were doing this kind of like a fun photo scavenger hunt. I don't know if you know what that is, but there's like a list of all the different things you have to take pictures of. And then you go together as a group and you take pictures of them. And whoever finishes first wins the scavenger hunt. Okay? So they were doing this as part of a church group. And they were going around taking all these pictures. And so the strangest thing happened. My friend, he said, can I join you? And so they were like, yeah, come on. And so he actually packed up his computer and all his things, and he joined them for the rest of that game, and they invited him to their Bible study. And he went to that Bible study as a non-Christian. He actually used to be an atheist. But he went to that Bible study. And each week, he learned something about Jesus, but he also felt the love of God as he was there. Because there was love for one another in that small group, in that fellowship. There was love for God in that place. And so the love for the lost just kind of poured out because those other things were there. And praise God, my friend is a believer. He actually leads a small group himself in Champaign-Urbana. It's an amazing thing. But this is the amazing God that we serve. Not because we're perfect. It's not because we do everything right and then someone believes in Jesus. No, it's we're imperfect people who've been given God's grace and love. And when people see a genuine response to that kind of grace, it's different. We're not working hard. Oh, I got to go to church on Sunday or God's going to hate me. Oh, I have to pray and read the Bible or God's going to hate me. No, God loves me. So I want to read the word. So I want to love on other people. I want to give of my time and serve in the church. I want to give of myself and give financially, give of my time and energy because it's not more costly than what Christ has done for me through Jesus Christ. Because I understand his love, because I know God, now my love for the lost grows. It's no longer about me and what I get, but it's how can I serve others, bless others. I pray that there'll be many more like my friend as we get visitors here all the time at CCC, in all the congregations. I pray that we would grow in our love for the lost and that many more would join the family here because the love of God is real and it's present. So the three things, to unite us together as a church, love for God, get to know him, pray, spend time in the word, come to church on Sundays, make it a priority, love for one another, pray for each other, get to know one another, make a commitment to do that. Lastly, but not least, love for the lost. Think about your workplace, think about your schools, maybe even think about your family. Are you serving and loving in such a way that they are going to experience the love of God? Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your kids, and you wonder, are these kids ever going to learn to love Jesus or know who he is? Love on them. Pray for them. Show the love of God, and he'll work in his heart. He'll work in her heart. He'll work for those who you're praying for. Let's be united together as a church. Let's grow in this kind of love and unity together. Let's pray. Just want to take one moment to give you a time to pray silently on your own, to respond to the word of God that's just been preached. Just take 1 minute and ask yourselves, do I know the love of God? Do I know the love of God? If the answer is no, all you have to do is ask God to reveal himself to you. That's all you have to do. If you say, yes, I do know the love of God, now I want to challenge you. Do you show that love to one another here at CCC? And do you show it to those out in the world who are lost, who do not yet know him? I pray that we will continue to grow. Let's do that now. Lord, help me to be a loving person. Help me to love you, God. Help me to love others. And help me to love those who do not know you. And through that, God, help me to be a part of this church and help this church, CCC, to grow together in unity. Let's pray for that for just a moment. Dear God, we thank you that your love is so real. We thank you that you showed your love for us, and that even thousands of years ago, you actually prayed for us. We are here not by chance. We are here not by coincidence. We are here because, God, you have loved us. You have made yourself known to us. And now, with that love that you have given to us, for those of us who are believers, may we take that love and may we be united together in this church. And may we as a church show that love to the lost who do not yet know you, in our schools, in our families, in this neighborhood. Give us this kind of unity that you prayed for us. May we pray for it also in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.